You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We like to call it a freak flag. Feel good. Fake it till you make it. Ric Flair. Woo! 512 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We got the full Monty, the full crew, and we got a lot to get into. Yes, the Celtics, they keep hope alive. They win game 5, force a game 6. We'll dive into it, break it all down, and hear from Jimmy, from Hemi. He's made a guarantee that they'll win game 6. We'll talk about that. Also, Cowboys and Texans OTA updates. We'll give you some news notes and nuggets from that. Speaking of the NFL, big news in the NFL. We talked about it, previewed it earlier this week, but DeAndre Hopkins expected to be released. And then we got to discuss who's going to be in DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes. We'll talk about it and get into it. Also, GM rankings of the NFL, head coach rankings, and QB rankings. We'll do it all. All of that and more. Before we do, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres, had to chase his dream in the cheese. Pimping ain't easy, but for this man, it's a breeze. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Hardball Harge. What's up, brother?
It's a 512 Friday, baby. We are here. We got the weekend off. We got Monday off, Memorial Day. Thank you for everyone that has fought for our service, that has done everything. I'm born and raised on Fort Hood, Texas. My grandfather was in the military. God rest his soul. But thank you for everyone that has given us the right to be able to celebrate and have that day off from work. But let me talk about my man that sits across from me every single day. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary lifetime and now college football Hall of Fame Longhorn Derrick Johnson said he was the best cover corner he had ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has that passion for film study, but he's not a fan of white condiments. But, of course, he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man and yours, Rod Babies.
I appreciate the intro, as always. That's not to waste any time introducing the real MVP, one of the hardest working members of the ARN family. He's got a hustler spirit, period. We don't know what he's paid, but we're pretty damn sure that the man is underpaid. It is Patrick Davis, y'all. He also celebrated birthday yesterday. How was the B-Day celebration?
It was good. I had to watch out. A little bit. I went in and it was pretty quick with everybody buying me shots. So you had to watch out a little bit.
You got to realize.
I thought you were talking about the movie Watch Out.
No, he means he's got to be a grown man.
That's right. I'll give a shout out to Wes and Bar Come and Take It Live, because I went over there and so I'm like 2-3 shots in. And he's like, all right, where are we going tonight? Yeah. I'm like, dude, I had to drive here, so We gotta be responsible about it. He's like, okay.
That's right.
Yeah, he's like, because the bar's gonna buy you some, and people keep buying. He's like, I just gotta pace it out for you a little bit. I'm like,
can y'all catch me tomorrow night? Can y'all catch me tomorrow night?
That's good. That's adulting, man. I like it.
That's right. Yeah.
Grown.
Welcome
folks
to
stuff.
The grown man status.
Grown folks stuff. Ain't no doubt about that. All right. Well, happy B Day again, of course, my man Patrick, who celebrated yesterday. If you missed that, you can give him a birthday shout out. Specs Text Line's the best way to do it. 512-337-3776. You also can hit us up via Twitter in the Twitterverse. My man Harge is at Hardball Harge in the Twitterverse. Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis. And I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. All right, we got NBA discussion to get to here, gentlemen. The Celtics, they did it. They did the damn thing. They made it a series again. After being down 3-0, now it is officially a series again. Now they've tied it made the series 3-2, looking to tie it in game six, of course. Just the 15th team in NBA history that has forced a game six after trailing 3-0 and essentially controlled the game the entire game. They never trailed, and they led by at least 15 points for the entire second half until those garbage buckets late down the stretch in the fourth quarter. But other than that, man, the Celtics came out here on a mission. And the mission was to keep hope alive and extend this series. Backs up against the wall. And that's exactly what they did. They won 110-97. Can I get a little factoid before we drop into this? Dive into it. This is freaky, man. So the Heat and the Celtics have played each other in three of the past four Eastern Conference Finals, right? The Celtics have won each game five by exactly 13 points.
They've won each game five by 13 points? Is that what you just said?
Wow. Yes. Guys, I will repeat. The Heat and the Celtics have played each other in three of the past four Eastern Conference Finals, and the Celtics have won every game five by exactly 13 points.
Well, at least you know.
Isn't that crazy?
Game five, what number to take?
121, 108, 93-80, and 110-97.
Wow. That is a freaky stat.
Isn't that freaky?
Freakier
stat. The Heat have won game six in all of those. Well, in the previous, I should say.
Maybe that's why Jimmy feels so confident about the victory.
Yeah, in the
because
previous
he might have known.
Yeah, but that's crazy.
That is a crazy stat.
What the hell is that? That's wild.
When that line last night was 8.5, by the way.
Yeah.
So, and what I can remember before we left, I kept saying, why are they favored by 8.5? And you said desperation.
They're desperate, man.
They were a desperate basketball team, and they played like their hair was on fire. They came out, they went right after them, and they made things happen. When you finish the first quarter up by 15, when you go there and you're up by 15, mm-hmm. and it looks like the other team just isn't moving as fast as you, that was a big step for them to be able to put their foot on their throat and be able to push the lead a little bit more. You know, they were up by 15 and left by 17. So you sit there and you look at it and you're like, man, this is a big move by these guys. But it was an important move for what they were up against.
No, it was. And once again, you know, we talked about it yesterday, but three-point shooting was a big reason why the Celtics were able to win game four. They shot 40%, were 18 of 45 in this game. Once again, over 40%. And that's been the real key in the series. We talked about it yesterday as well. The first three games of the series, the Miami Heat were shooting a ridiculous 47% from three-point range, and they have cooled off significantly. Like I said yesterday, there's no way they were going to be able to sustain that. They have not sustained that, and it's now kind of swung the series. So three-point shooting being a big issue in this series, or at least a big factor, I should say, more or less, in this series. And now Celtics, they are basically now 38-2 when they shoot at least 40% from three-point range.
And it's so funny because the shooting percentage was 41% for Boston and 39% for Miami. But the fact of the matter was they took more. They were 16 of 39, and Miami was 9 of 23. So it's more about, okay, how many more shots can we get up? If you get 16 more shots up, there's a difference in a ball game right there. But they weren't getting second-chance shots either. There was another part of it. When they missed, and they never got another chance to tip the ball out where they can get another extra pass. They weren't being able to do that. Boston, to your point yesterday, Rod, you said was a desperate basketball team, and that's exactly how they played. They went in and they did their job. And we talked about it yesterday. That Robert Williams being on that court makes a huge, huge difference every time he's out there.
Yeah, also something that was big was the kind of the live ball turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Celtics only they forced 16 total turnovers. At least I should say the Miami Heat had 16 total turnovers, but 13 of those, and they had 9 in the second half, by the way. 13 of those were live ball turnovers. That's the second most they've had in a game this season. Usually that's associated with transition buckets and being able to get out in transition. The Celtics, just to give you a little number, prior to game 5, they were minus 14 in live ball turnovers.
Yep.
In the first 4 games of the series. So a lot of things have just flipped. 3-point shooting has flipped. The live ball turnovers has flipped. Shows you that the Celtics have really increased their intensity and they're engaged now, both ends of the floor, a little bit differently. And they're confident.
Yeah.
This shows you how confident they are. Jaylen Brown, we have a sign of Jaylen Brown. This is in the post game. It's brief, but it just shows you kind of how the Celtics are feeling now that they've made this a real series and it's 3-2. Here's Jaylen Brown in the postgame.
Tonight we were the tougher playing team. We set this on from start to finish, and we had a great team win. We hit shots, and they let us get 2. So don't let us get another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They let us get 2. Don't let us get another one. Because then it's their series. They believe it's their series. Right now all the momentum is on Boston's side, and they believe it's their series. You guys have remarked about how cocky and confident they were when they made it 3-1.
Right.
It was like, why y'all getting engaged in the crowd and talking, snaps to the crowd.
Out.
Like, y'all know something.
Yeah.
Maybe as a team, they did know something.
Yeah, they knew something for those 2 games.
Momentum's on their side.
Yeah.
Momentum's on their side. Grant Williams was in the post game too. This is actually pretty funny because while he's speaking in the postgame, this actually doesn't have, it's not that great, it's not that insightful or anything, but I just thought it was funny because in the postgame, he's speaking to a reporter and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford walk by him and they, you know, usually you give a celebratory, just kind of smack on the butt, you know, boom, all right, and that's all right. You don't do it to be aggressive, all right? You can hear how hard they slap him on the rear end, and he says ouch the second time. The first time, he kind of...
Oh, no, he says ouch the first time. The second time, he has to stop himself from cussing.
Yeah, okay, yeah, play the audio.
We heard some Celtics and 7 chants as well. What was the energy like in the building?
The energy was tremendous. We had to do our job to make sure we get it back here. That's number one goal. Take care of the next game, one game at a time. We can't look too far ahead. Ouch. And make sure that we...
Good job, Grant.
We got to make sure we take this one game at a time and make sure that we just make sure we stay together, honestly.
Get some work on that. Thank you, Grant. Congratulations.
I thought she was going to say, go ice it.
Oh, man.
Because they were smacking
Come
him.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. No, honestly, it's not. When you, and no joke about this, because guys, I still don't know where the butt slap comes from in sports, but it is a thing.
Yep.
And I've seen it in male and female sports. I've seen women do it in men. It's a thing. And
yep.
I've seen it more in male sports than I've seen in women's sports, but I've seen it in both. And I don't know why it's still something that has been able to be transcend through time, but I don't know when and where it started. That would be a great deep dive for some 30 for 30. I want to know
the biggest story is it ain't ended.
It ain't going nowhere. No, the younger generations
yes.
have still embraced. How we going to slap it? And
yeah.
it's so weird because, like I said, I remember having, you know, a good game and getting slapped on the butt a
right.
lot. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
I think it's fun.
And I've done it too.
Yes, because you've done it. You're messing with people.
I don't know why I've done it. I shouldn't have been. I shouldn't be doing it.
Oh, it's natural. It's part of the group thing.
Why
I know sometimes you look at it and you're like, all right, man, that's cool. Way to go, man. Boom. And then you just keep it moving.
But
then there's some you're like, oh, he's on video right now. I'm about to light him up.
I know. Bow. But it is a weird thing now to be a married man and do it often to my wife as she is also.
Way to go, girl.
Yeah.
Way to show up, man. Like, good job on that laundry. Hey, good job.
That encouragement still there. I'm like,
love the way you cut that grass, girl. Boom.
That's why now it's I'm having a tough time trying to reconcile. It's just weird because I still do it, but now I just do it to my wife. She's my teammate.
Yep, she is.
It is.
And she's your captain.
I mean, it seems like it's one of those things where it's like, what's the way I can, if they're not volunteering for a high five or something like, so it's a one-way
it is.
Pat.
You're right.
Where can I pat them that's not more awkward than that? But you're like, nowhere on the front. Front padding.
Like the stomach or the chest. That's not,
So it's like, you're like, all right, well, I guess lower back's weirder somehow than that. I don't know. I think it just ends up that it was just like, look, that's where my hand is. This was going to happen.
Oh, man. I'm saying it'd be, like I said, somebody do the history deep dive on the rabbit hole down it. Because I have no idea where it came from. But it hadn't gone away. I thought it was like an old school thing. But now it's still
that second, alive. That second smack for him, he raises up. Like his... If you watch the video, he literally goes up.
Yeah,
like
get on them tippy toes. You get that tippy toe slap.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's that tippy toe one.
That was extremely aggressive.
Yeah.
So I guess
that's what happens when you're in Boston too long, too.
It was all in love, though. I mean, it's all like, hey, man, it's celebratory stuff. You did a great job. Let me show you how much I appreciate you by giving you a nice slap on the butt.
Get that flamethrower.
I've seen it in almost every sport, too. Like, it has transcended all sports, and it doesn't matter, male or female, and still all through time. It's got to be damn near going on 70, 80 years of the butt slap. You got to be.
Yeah, because it's not
was
something
going on. It was doing it in the 60s.
Yeah, they weren't even thinking about it back then.
Who's the first one? We got to find this out. I would like to know.
I like that. Pose that question.
I want to know. Where did it start? Do we have film?
I mean, we know Dusty Baker's at near the beginning of the high five.
He was part of that? Yes,
so
Dusty did say that.
So we need to ask Dusty Baker what a butt slapping in his when he first got to the big show.
Well, you know, everybody was kind of tough guys then, you know. They were like, no, you can't
when
do
did
that.
It exactly? But I think they were doing it ironically.
Yeah.
And just like Jimmy Butler, he ironically started loving country music because he used it to taunt his teammates and troll them, and then said, "You know what? This is damn good music, actually. This is fantastic.
It is outstanding music. Right? It
Jimmy
is.
Jimmy Johnson,
yeah, Tommy Thompson,
Tommy Thompson,
and my best friend Bo.
So maybe that's where it started. They were like these kind of they were really being kind of ultra masculine, right?
Yep.
Probably borderline misogynistic, and then they decided ironically they were going to do it and. It caught
great
on.
Great point.
I want to know the first team that did it. I would love to know the first team that decided we butt slapping and winning the mail. You know, for the most part, we are now becoming progressive enough where homophobia is not like rampant.
Right.
But at one point it was. We must admit in our society. All right. In some places it still is.
Very true.
And we decided we're just going to butt slap back in the 50s. When did it start?
According to a quick Google search, it's saying around 1973.
That's when the butt slap started.
That is what they're saying.
Oh.
On a quick Google search.
So they're saying 50 years of the butt slap.
Yeah.
Do they say the first?
They said it was Penn State. The Penn State football team.
No. Oh,
take
no.
my headset off,
that's
man. I'm
true.
Done for the
that
day.
That's not true.
I'm out of here.
That was it, Dan.
I am done for the day.
It was Penn State football team.
No way.
Is that Wikipedia?
It's on Google.
I think it's somebody trolling, man. That's not. No.
That cannot be true,
no.
man.
I will refuse to believe that is also around the time that I believe the beginning of the scandal that we will not discuss because it's so disgusting. Wow.
I cannot believe that.
I feel bad for bringing up the subject.
Yeah, I'm sitting here now. I'm like,
oh,
I'm already
man.
Over this conversation.
I cannot believe that. My mind is blown. And not in a good
Let's
way.
Go back to Dusty Baker with
Please
the high five.
Go back to Dusty
Let's
Baker.
Go back with it.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I cannot believe that. Okay.
Yeah. That is a quick Google search will tell you.
For the first time, I wish you had not Googled that.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, because, since we're on the subject, you know one of my final five schools was Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember this at all. My father claims that I spoke with Sandusky.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I don't really remember this. You said you remember.
You probably don't remember because
I think he was like the DC around that time, so it doesn't make sense. And maybe I just blocked it out.
They were
one of my final five schools. So I did speak with people.
How was your trip to Happy Valley?
Listen, let's not discuss any of this.
State College.
No,
I've been there. I played in the Eastern League, so we were around Penn State quite a bit.
I actually never made it up there, thank the Lord.
Okay.
Yes. That was not. I dismissed them from the list before I made it up there.
Okay.
I took four of my visits, but not that one.
Okay.
See?
See that? Divine intervention. Divine intervention, dog.
Of course it was.
Yeah, of course.
Someone said they thought Patrick was making a joke, and I guess they looked at
him. Yeah, yeah, no.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
By the way, I just said 1973 for a reason, but I'm not a liar. So when you asked, I was like, yeah, I don't need to. I'll leave this part out that I said that where it said it was from.
Oh, I can't believe it. I apologize. I did not know where that was going, guys. We pulled that clip, and then I went down that. But I should have Googled it before, so I could have nixed that as a topic on the show.
Hey, well, it's good to know that we're never doing that again, are we?
Never. No. And I get to know, that's why nobody has discussed that, because they probably Googled it.
They probably Googled it and was like, that's a non-starter. This ain't going to work for me today.
This is not going to be it. That's where it started? Oh, no. We can't. No. Oh, wow. That might get canceled. If people actually know where it started, they might cancel the butt slap.
Yeah.
We might never see it again in this cancel culture era if they know where it came from. Where it originated.
My goodness.
Wow. Can we just hear from Jimmy Butler to cleanse our palate?
Please.
Start over. Oh, man. Okay. See, bad taste in my mouth. Okay. So, Jimmy Butler in the post game, he was asked about the performance of the Miami Heat the last two games, of course, because they were up 3-0 now. We have a series that is 3-2. Here is Jimmy Butler calling his shot Babe Ruth style.
Jimmy, your guys are still leading 3-2. You have a home game to close it out. What's the sense after being up 3-0, then losing two in a row by a combined 30 points in the locker room from you? What's the mindset now where the series stands?
We just got to play better, start the games off better on the starters, make it more difficult for them. They're in a rhythm since the beginning of the game, but we're always going to stay positive, knowing that we can and we will win this series, and we'll just have to close it out at home.
Jimmy, to follow up on that, why is it that your confidence and the group's confidence remains so high given the way the last two games unfolded?
Because the last two games are not who we are. It just happened to be that way, and we stopped playing defense halfway because we didn't make shots that we want to make, but that's easy correctable. We just got to come out and play harder from jump. So, like I always say, it's going to be all smiles. We're going to keep it very, very, very consistent, knowing that we are going to win the next game.
All right, guys. That's my man Jimmy. They will win game six. Okay. They will win game six.
All right. I mean, I need you to, because I'm sitting here talking about y'all. Y'all are the ones that are going to beat them, and here we are going another game. I thought this was going to be a sweep. This should have been a sweep. But, Rod, you brought up all the numbers yesterday and how it breaks down and how you sit there and you say all the numbers state that Boston should be winning this series. This series should be over Boston style. So is this the time for them to, boom, get to that point where they're starting to get hot? They have to be hot to get to the next round, but is this one of those moments where it's like, all right, we can go on a run and win, what, eight games in a row?
I mean, they're great in elimination games, right? I believe Boston.
So every game is an elimination now.
Yeah, this offseason, they're 4-0. Sorry, this offseason, this postseason.
Yeah.
They're 4-0 in elimination games. They've been great with their backs up against the wall. And, yeah, I mean, it hasn't been a lot of teams in NBA history that have been down 0-3 and been able to force even a game six, which they are in right now about to do. So it's right now I think all the momentum is on Boston's side. And if Jimmy guarantees a win, I am inclined to agree with Jimmy. If Jimmy's how often does Jimmy guarantee a playoff Jimmy guarantee wins? He talks a lot of trash and smack. He guaranteed it twice.
He did.
Yeah.
He said, we will win game six.
He's in there like Joe Namath. He's letting you know it's time to go. And the fact, too, they're back. Are they back in Miami right now? Yeah. Yep. That's why. He wants everybody there. It's the weekend, Memorial weekend. They know that there's going to be a party going on. come on down here. We're about to get this dub and tear this whole place up.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see because Boston's got all the momentum. But like I said, Jimmy seems determined. Playoff yep. Jimmy seems determined. And I don't know if you want to pick against playoff Jimmy when he sees guaranteeing wins.
That's the
I'm going to stick with Jimmy Butler on this one. They should have already closed the door on this Celtics team.
Agreed.
They've given them life now. But, you know, it's on it, – and Jimmy Butler under – I mean, he had a bad – I'm going to say it's a bad game. But for Jimmy Butler, he was 5 of 10.
Yep.
14 points.
Fourth quarter, he set out a lot.
That's true because the game was out of hand. He was averaging 18 isolation possessions per game in the first four games. And in this game, he ended up with just 3 isolation plays.
And his plus minus was minus 24.
Yeah, he was not being aggressive.
He was not being aggressive. And that's the difference, right? We were talking about the other night how Jason Tatum decided, I'm about to get to the rim as much as I possibly can. I'm about to be aggressive. He has some spectacular dunk plays. But then you look at what Jaylen Brown was able to bring to the table. Derek White showed up. That's the other part of it. Derek White showed up for them.
Yes,
he was a huge part of their success mm-hmm. yesterday, and even Marcus Smart. So you look at who was the top go-getters, it was two dudes that normally aren't the guys that you lean on to be your heavy lifters. They were it last night. Mm-hmm. They got the complimentary pieces. Complimentary pieces from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, both of them with 21 points each. But you look at what Marcus Smart and Derek White, those were the two factors.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But I can't wait for the game this weekend. Oh, man, you're talking about now drama.
Yep.
That is great. And you're the NBA. Jimmy Butler and, you know, and his theatrics and looking at Boston now with their comeback so far to make it a 3-2 series, they've saved the conference finals for the NBA.
Yeah.
Because that Western Conference Finals was a dud. That was dud, man. It was terrible. And not because
– we had moments, though.
Yeah, we had moments. But the Nuggets – yeah, you're right. They were competitive games. But a sweep is a sweep.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's not good for the NBA. They need some drama. They need –
yeah, it is funny because, like, there's not really been that many – has there been any competitive games in this series? So there's not any games that you go, man, that was a great game.
Not really.
But at least there's now competition – whereas there was 3 good games in the Denver Lakers series, they just all went to Denver.
That's a great point. You're right. this is a better series, but those were
better
games.
Yeah,
that's fair. I agree with that. Okay, let's go to the break. We'll get to some Cowboys and Texans OTA updates coming up next segment for the Cowboys. Got a bunch of different stories that I want to get to, so we'll do kind of a scatter shooting thing with the Cowboys. But with the Texans, there's one topic and one report that I want to get to from the Texans. We'll get to that as well. All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. 512 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie. That's my man Patrick. Plays jams from local bands and artists. Very talented human beings that you have a chance to catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Hector Ward and the Big Time. They are playing tonight at Saxon Pub.
I like that. All right, I used to say live music capital of the world, and then I learned that Patrick does not like that.
It's not that I dislike it. There's musicians that really dislike it.
Okay, but
also,
there are some people that really dislike it. But yeah, it was never a phrase that musicians were like, we're that.
They embraced it.
Yeah, it was always more of like, you say that in spite of giving, like, you don't want to give us money. And you're like, no, we're helping out because it's a live music capital. Can you play for free?
Yeah.
Dude.
That's why it's a live music capital. Everybody play for free.
Yeah.
No,
I agree with that. So if it's 512 Friday, I don't want to disrespect some of the artists. So we'll just say the ATX. No doubt about it.
I can say it's some of the greatest live music you will see in the world. But that does not make it the live music. It doesn't have a cool tagline.
Yeah, true. The other one that kind of flows, kind of, you know what I mean? It just kind of rolls off the tongue there. All right, let's get into some Cowboys and Texans OTA updates here. All right, so let's start with the Texans because there's only one story that I want to bring up with the Texans. And I got it from their beat reporter, John Crumpler. He does a really good job. So he claims that C.J. Stroud is the only first-round quarterback taking snaps with the twos in OTAs. He hasn't taken any snaps with the ones at all. He said we'll see how long that lasts. But, all the other quarterbacks have at least split some time and they've had some time with the ones.
I don't look too much into it.
Okay.
I'm not going to beat it up or say that this means one thing or the other. We knew that Davis Mills coming into it was probably going to be the heir apparent for right now, mm-hmm. until C.J. Stroud can go in there and get his work in. Just because it's in OTAs don't mean it's going to be like that when the season starts.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
yes.
So I don't read too much into it.
I know, but the other quarterbacks are already splitting time with the ones. Why not let them do it?
They might have been way worse, a lot of them. Because if you think about some of the other ones, I think Anthony Richardson, I know he's splitting time right now, but he may not even be the starting quarterback.
I know, but it seems that, and maybe because they're offensive coaches. Could it be that? You got D'Amico Ryans, who's a defensive coach, who's deciding everybody on my squad will have to earn everything, and he has more of a defensive approach, whereas the other coaches are offensive coaches, so they're offensive-minded, and they want to build a team and build a roster and build a system around a quarterback, whereas D'Amico Ryans is just trying to build a team.
Yeah, he's trying to build his entire culture.
Everybody's got to earn it. It's all about meritocracy. So the best man for the job, who earns the job, will get the job. And so I'm not saying that one way is better than the other, but I do think it's a distinction between a defensive-minded coach trying to build a team and trying to construct a new culture and the offensive-minded coaches who are like, no, this is all about the quarterback. We will start with the quarterback and build around that. And D'Amico Ryans is like, no, we will start with principles and then we will build around those. Quarterback, get in where you fit in, which these days is kind of risky, actually.
It is. It is. Just, and I had this conversation about points just today, and somebody was talking about the fact that they were like, well, you got to make sure that you have this or you have to. No, people are scoring points. Defense does win championships, but you have to score to win. Mm-hmm. So however you're going to do that is whatever it's going to be. But that is a huge move. And for D'Amico Ryans, he's building culture now. Mm-hmm. So he's, like you said, he's coming in there and letting everybody know, yeah, we're going to work hard. We're going to earn it. You're our guy eventually. But take it from him. Don't walk in thinking you're going to be our starting guy. Take it. Make us take notice and say, you know what? He needs to be working with the first team. Maybe they're helping him with the second team. He's going with the second team and going against that first team defense where it's becoming a little bit faster for him. There could be a lot of things that play into that part of it. Because like you said, D'Amico seems to be like an old school coach.
He is. I think, and this is why I could argue devil's advocate on the side of D'Amico Ryans. Truth is, you don't know if C.J. Stroud is going to be the guy.
Right.
So to build a culture around a player and to build a team around a player who you don't know is going to be, you know, the franchise quarterback of the face of the team, that could be ill-advised.
Yeah.
That could be counterproductive if he turns out to be a dud, which, hey, it happens. 50% of the time with those quarterbacks, pretty much a coin toss in the first round.
Yep.
And so he's trying, maybe you can argue, he's trying to build a culture from the ground up, more in an old school way that isn't so dependent and isn't so centric around the quarterback, because if he does that, then they can have success in spite of.
Right.
the quarterback. Yeah. And if he is a dud, you know what? Hey, man, that's all right. We got a Case Keenum who's been a star in this league, who's won some games. Hey, we can go out there and win some damn games with Case Keenum.
For sure.
But we got, you know, we got a good culture, and we built the roster not around C.J. Stroud. We built it around certain principles, certain core principles.
Right.
So I could argue either side. Listen, there are plenty of ways to skin a catfish, as we know.
There we go. Make sure you put that
exactly.
out there.
Exactly. So I'm not opposed to it. I'm just making the distinction. Just throwing observation, yeah. pretty much. Okay, so that's the Texans update. Cowboys OTA updates. There are a bunch of them. So the first team offensive line without Zach Martin, because he's a Hall of Famer, so they don't even need to see Zach Martin in basic OTAs such as this. So the first team on line was Tyron Smith at right tackle, Josh Ball at right guard, Tyler Biadasz at center, Matthew Farniok at left guard, and Tyler Smith at left tackle. They're talking about put their best five offensive line on the field. Their best five offensive line, five offensive linemen, excuse me. It includes Zach Martin, Tyler Smith, Tyron Smith, and Terrence Steele, I'm sure, will be thrown in there.
Terrence Steele needs to be in there because I think he's earned that. I think Terrence Steele has earned the right to have that opportunity until somebody takes it away from him.
Oh, no doubt. And I think he did. I think it's an injury thing or something like that as to why what's happening here. But I think you're going to have Tyron Smith, Tyler Smith, Terrence Steele, Biadasz, of course, and Zach Martin. I think that's your best five. Now, where do they all fit? Tyler Smith will probably end up going to guard if you want Tyron Smith out there.
Right.
Or Terrence Steele out there. So it depends on what you want and what your, you know, different combination is. I think that's your best five, though.
I would agree with that. And, you talked about Zach Martin. He's Hall of Fame all day, every day, and twice on every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You sit there and look at Tyler Smith. Most importantly, Tyron Smith, because his health is going to be the biggest part of it. Yeah. How are they going to work him back into it? He made some adjustments, did some different things as he came back. But when you start to really, really break it all down and seeing what is going to be the most productive lineup, I think you definitely have to have Terrence Steele. And I can't believe I'm saying that from a guy that was undrafted. Mm-hmm. But he came in and worked, and he did what he needed to do. And rumor has it, you can't lose your job from injury.
What?
But you can make it stressful.
I don't know if that's real anymore. That's not the case anymore.
A lot of people still live by that code.
That's too old school, man.
Yeah, I agree.
People lose their job all the time because of injury. It's just why, that's just the football gods.
Yeah.
If a guy in front of you is more productive, go look at Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo before him.
Brock Purdy's about to go through it now.
Exactly.
Like, is he going to get his job back, though? Yeah. They said he's going to be the one when he comes back, they look at him as their starting quarterback.
It happens to everybody. You get hurt, your job's on the line. Sorry. Yeah. That's just three. Okay. That's the nature of
the record. For the record, Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. So one of them is going to lose their job due to injury because Trey Lance lost the job due to injury.
Exactly.
Right.
So he was going to be the starter until he got hurt.
Yeah,
right. And then so now that he's healthy, technically, if we're going by that, he is the starter again because Brock Purdy was replacing him.
I know, exactly. That rule applies. We never see Tom Brady the GOAT.
Yeah.
Because Drew Bledsoe would have got his job back.
Like, yeah. That would have been the worst.
He tried.
Exactly.
He tried.
You ain't getting your job back, Drew. Sorry, Drew.
Drew said, I'm going elsewhere. I'm going elsewhere.
Good for you, Drew. Go elsewhere.
I'm not
getting your job. Brett Favre, too. Remember Matchkowski?
I'm going to go to Dallas. But if I get hurt there, there won't be anybody to take over, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Tony Romo.
Dak Prescott. That's what I'm saying. So it's, honestly, that's I don't know if that – you're right. Some people, maybe they're so old school, they still stick by that. And good for them. But most of the coaches I know, I lost my job. So I never had a job because of injury. Nobody lost a job. I never had a job. I never had a starting job or anything like that.
Right.
I just said I lost jobs actually as on teams because I couldn't stay healthy. It's a big part of it.
It definitely is a big part of it.
Okay, getting back to the Cowboys here. No Trevon Diggs out there, so I'm sure that they got some reason for it, but they haven't discussed it. It's not anything serious or anything like that. Some of these guys aren't out there because it's OTAs. It's not that serious yet. They don't need to see much from them. Nashawn Wright was opposite of Stephon Gilmore, and Deron Bland was in the slot. How about this? Kelvin Joseph, boss man Fats.
Nickel.
Working nickel and safety,
yeah,
according to Bobby Belt.
I'm just trying to get out there, Coach. Whatever you need from me, I got to figure out a way. And they are, too, trying to figure out a way because of the fact that they gave him money because they drafted him high.
Second round.
They need to make sure we're going to give ourselves – we talked about this yesterday. High draft pick, you're going to get every opportunity until we just exhaust every bit of it. And that's where he's at right now. Okay, we've used you on special teams. You got forced into action before, and it didn't go well for you. Then we put you in another spot, and it's still not looking good for you. This is it for you, buddy. We're going to give you one more shot at it. We're going to try to find another spot for you. If this doesn't work out for you, go back to rapping.
Go back to rapping. Yeah, I mean, I hope he didn't. Hopefully, he didn't give up rapping. Bossman Fats.
Yeah,
so I like that nickname as a rapper.
He needs to do a duet. Cameo. Let's do a cameo, not a duet with Dame Dillard. I mean, Dame Lillard.
I think.
Oh no, he needs to be on the Jimmy Butler country album.
That might be true too, because he is a Kyle.
I'm not gonna lie. I never liked the country hip hop crossover. Collabos.
Not a Cowboy Troy fan.
I was going to say Cowboy Troy. That's what
you know. Cowboy Troy.
I don't mind them fusing.
I think he was here with Rod.
I don't mind.
I mean, they was around that time, yeah.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
I don't mind them fusing the genres. I just don't like when a hip hop artist and a country artist do a song together. Every now and then it works, but you know, Nelly's been doing this for years.
I was
going to
say, Nelly's
too.
Been doing it for a while.
LL Cool J did it as well, too. I think Accidental Racism was the song.
Accidental Racist. Yeah. Terrible song.
It's one of my favorite. I listen to it all the time.
I don't like
especially
that,
when I'm driving.
I'd like the fusion more than anything. But yeah, you're totally right, Harsh. I mean, they basically, because they drafted him so high, you know, if you're a Cowboys exec, and Will McClay, you're thinking, man, this makes me look really bad. if we get nothing in return on that investment. That we draft this guy real high in the second round and then basically gave you no solid reps as a starter ever, was unreliable even as a backup.
As a backup.
Couldn't contribute on special teams, really. And then you end up having to cut him out of nowhere just because, you know what, he's a waste of a roster spot. We're just wasting a spot on him. Forget the money. We're wasting a roster spot on this guy.
Ding, ding.
So I think that's why, like, no, can you add depth at the nickel slot? Or can you add depth at safety? That would be much better than just cutting him, because
they're trying to change the rules right now about special teams, so now you're even more limited on him.
That's a great point.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about it. You're right.
Yeah,
you're less valuable than you were before.
Exactly.
I wonder if he'll make the roster.
That's why they're giving him every opportunity.
Now I really wonder if he'll make the roster, guys. Because I mean, we got to go look at all the DBs they have. But
that was my original thought. I didn't know if he was going to make it through this year, this past season, because of the fact that he was not playing at a very high level at all.
Yeah.
Every opportunity he had was not a good look all around. So that's why I was kind of like, wait a minute. What's going to be able to happen now?
No, I'm with you. We'll have to dive into that. We got plenty of time, but that's an interesting conversation out there, moving him around a little bit. All right, last little nugget here from Cowboys OTA updates. Linebacker pairings. First linebacker pairing, Leighton Vander Esch and Damone Clark. Then Jabril Cox and Malik Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Some love there.
Malik.
And Michael Parsons did take some snaps at off-ball linebacker doing some of the drills and walkthroughs. So
I am shocked.
He's not totally emancipated himself from the off-ball linebacker spot, as Dan Quinn mentioned in the offseason. Okay, we'll get to the DeAndre Hopkins thing. We wanted to devote more time to it, so it's in the top of the 4 o'clock. So coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to DeAndre Hopkins being released and who's going to be in the DeAndre Hopkins suite. We previewed this story actually earlier this week, and turns out has sooner rather than later, the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes just kicked off. So we'll get into that coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock. We got the Flex on the other side.
Flex.
Hard just got some updates for you.
We'll get
into that right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn. Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. 512 Friday. That's when Patrick plays jams from local bands and artists, very talented human beings that you have a chance to catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is the Bourgeois Mystics, and they're playing tonight at the Parish.
It's a good name. It's a great name.
Bourgeois Mystics.
Damn, that's good.
That's smooth.
I keep wondering, I would love to see a documentary, and it could just be literally 90 seconds with every band, and it probably should have been something that was started like 10, 15 years ago. It's got to be like a, I'm talking about, it's a long, it's a five, maybe it don't have to be a 5-10 year project. Maybe you just do parts of it. You do part one, part two, and you just go around and talk to bands across the country, and I just need your quick story on the genesis of the name.
Yeah.
That's it. Quick one. 90 seconds, boom, 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 boom. I just want to see if there is a common thread. Because the names are so creative. I love it.
Yeah.
Bourgeois Mystics.
I always did love Dave Grohl talking about the Foo Fighters. He was like, yeah, if I knew I was still going to be in the band like 20 years later, I would have chosen something else.
I chose his name on the band or something?
But no, but he was just like, it's kind of a stupid name that we just did because we were like, I'll probably do like an album.
Yeah,
and
you're
so
right,
it's just this
right,
thing.
Right.
And then
we'll bands
the
don't stay together that long. Yeah. And they don't make it big.
And you're like, oh, no, yeah. Now we've been going strong in one of the biggest rock bands the last 20, 30 years. I guess we got to stick with it now. But,
yeah, there is no changing.
That's true, but it's well known, though. Like, everybody knows that band name.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've always been curious about that. 512 Friday always brings that curiosity out in me. But thanks to my man Patrick, working hard after his birthday, by the way. Had a birthday yesterday, so he's working hard day after his birthday for a 512 Friday. All right, the Flex, FLXATX.com, FLXATX, and all of your social media platforms. All right, you got some updates for the people.
I do. I'm sitting here right now looking at the Westlake Chaparrals game as they're taking on Eagle Pass last night. They got a chance to win. They won the game 7-2 in Eagle Pass, and now they are up right now 4-0 in the top of the seventh inning. If they win this, the series is over. If they lose this game, they will play again right after the game. So it's going to be hopefully they're moving on to the next round. Rouse won yesterday 4-2.
Hey.
They're continuing to move on. They have games again. I think their next game starts at 4 o'clock today. And by the way, the Taylor Ducks won again. They keep it moving, dog. They
quack,
keep it moving.
Quack.
Central Texas is trying to represent as we continue to move on. So big games are being still played, and we might have a representative headed to the state tournament, too. So,
all right. Also, don't forget, go to FLXATX.com. They have the schedule up there for the 7-on-7 tournament this weekend at Westwood. So you can go check that out as well if you want to go attend those festivities. So FLXATX.com, FLXATX on all of your social media platforms. Also, the Wednesday Night Flex is also still up there. So you can get the replays of those Wednesday Night Flex with the Flex crew. Nolan Hogan, the C, doing a good job with Cameron Parker. Those guys working really hard for you. Okay. We come back, we will discuss the big news of the day. The Cardinals are expected to release DeAndre Hopkins. And if he is released, we will discuss what teams will be in the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes. And also, we have some GM, head coach, and quarterback rankings. I call that the Holy Trinity of the NFL. You want to nail those three. You get those three right, everything else falls into place. We'll discuss all of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.